Grace Point, thanks so much for the kind words and for your thoughtfulness. I can't tell you how much it means to me and to Val and to our family. These last 20 years truly have been a journey, and I'm very grateful that we've had a chance to share the journey together. It's amazing to me how God has been so faithful to us, and I'm excited about what God has for us in the next chapter ahead. So again, thank you for your kindness and for your thoughtfulness, and I look forward to sharing the future with you in ministry. So let's dive into God's Word. Wherever you are today, whether you're in person, whether you're online, I just want to invite you to focus in on some life-changing words of Jesus found in the New Testament book of Mark, chapter 4. As you locate that little section of Scripture, I'd like for you to think about this thought that I recently heard from a fellow pastor named Craig Rochelle. Here's the thought: growth and comfort cannot coexist. Let me say it for you one more time. Growth and comfort cannot coexist. As we are letting that sink into our brains just a bit, I have a feeling that some of us are beginning to say, well, I have not been comfortable since the beginning of March, so I should have been growing exponentially during the last 3 or 4 months. But instead, some of us would say about the only growth I've experienced has been in my waistline because of all of these stay-at-home orders and not being able to do my normal activity and routine. Well, there's no question that being uncomfortable can certainly cause us to reach for comfort food. But waistline growth is not the kind of growth that we're talking about this morning. This kind of growth is not measured in ounces and pounds. Think about this. When we are uncomfortable, we are in prime territory for growth in our soul, for growth in our character, and growth in our relationships. A lack of comfort often opens us up to change, to a new perspective, which then can result in some growth in our personal lives. I wonder if that's why God sometimes allows uncomfortable situations to come into our life, or even why sometimes God brings discomfort. Because when we're uncomfortable, we're more willing. We're more willing to change, willing to move off dead center, even willing to take a step forward. We see this pattern throughout human history, and we've been discovering it again as we look at the little book of Mark in the New Testament. We see Jesus bringing a lot of discomfort to the religious leaders of his day. His unexpected mission and message and methods brought all sorts of discomfort into their lives. One of the most unexpected and discomforting parts of Jesus' message we talked about last week. Here was the truth. Jesus told these religious leaders, and he tells us today, that what is most important to God is the posture of our heart towards him and others, not just fulfilling the letter and rule of the law in the Old Testament or Mosaic law. This upset the whole world of the religious leaders of Jesus' day because they had built an entire religious system on simply knowing the law and obeying the letter of the law. But Jesus invited them, and he invites us, into experiencing God personally, and that changes everything. Sadly enough, many of these religious leaders didn't take a step forward because of the discomfort. They didn't grow in their understanding of God or grow in their faith because of what Jesus said. Instead, they just got angry. They dug in their heels. They became even more judgmental. They refused to acknowledge Jesus' mission and his message. They missed the opportunity to grow. Friends, it's my hope that you and I will not miss the opportunity to grow during this uncomfortable time in history. We've all experienced the unexpected for the last few months. We all know the frustration, and I'm right there with you. We're all well acquainted with the changes that have been required for us to continue to function during this time. There are a few exceptions. But for most of us, this season has affected almost every part of our lives. But during this unexpected, uncomfortable moment, God is giving us the opportunity to grow. He's still speaking. He is still working. And if you and I are going to grow during this time and not be like the religious leaders of Jesus' day, we're going to have to follow what Jesus talked about in Mark chapter 4, where he asked us to consider the condition of our heart. When the unexpected happens, when God is speaking, when His Spirit is moving, when we're uncomfortable, it's the condition of our heart that allows us to be able to respond to God's Spirit and to grow in our personal lives. If you find Mark chapter 4 and you begin to look at the first few verses, you see that Jesus is teaching from a lakeshore. A large crowd has gathered around him, and so he's actually stepped into a boat and pushed out a bit from shore so he can talk to this large gathering of people. And he begins to try to tell them some spiritual truth through stories, or what we often call parables. And in verse 3 of Mark chapter 4, Jesus says, "Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across the field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock, and the seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun because it had no deep roots. It died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain." And in verse 8, he says, "Still other seed fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, they grew, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted." And Jesus said, "Anyone who has ears to hear should listen and understand." Jesus, talking in that parable, describes for us the condition of the heart, what's inside you and me, and how it responds to God's Spirit, to God's Word, to the opportunities that God gives to us to grow our soul, to grow our character, to grow in our relationships. Jesus went on to describe for his hearers and to describe for us today what these different heart conditions looked like. Let me just take a moment and look at Jesus' words, and let's think about it together. Jesus describes a calloused heart first in verse 15, a calloused heart. He says there was seed that fell on the footpath, and it represents those who hear a message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. Jesus is describing a heart that is so hard that nothing sinks in. The seed, the Word of God, the Spirit of God is working, but it doesn't touch the deep part of the heart. It's just a rocky, hard place, and the seed just lays on top. It doesn't touch the heart. This heart is unfeeling. It doesn't understand. It's unwilling to receive what's being given to it. Jesus says, because the seed isn't able to penetrate, Satan is able to come and quickly get our attention onto something else. This seed doesn't penetrate our hearts. And we know that it's easy for us in our world today to become calloused. We have so much uncertainty swirling around. There's so many people who tell us, this is the truth, and then someone else says, no, this is the truth. Someone says, you should be doing this, and then someone else who we respect says, nope, you should be doing just the opposite of what they said. And we wind up with a calloused heart, unwilling to let anything penetrate. And we even come that way to God's Word and to God's truth. Jesus said, you and I dare not have a calloused heart, because we can be religious people. We can know a lot of Scripture. We can be a part of a worship experience regularly, and we can still have a calloused heart where God speaks to us, and if it doesn't fit into our particular box for how God is supposed to work, we get angry just like the old religious leaders of Jesus' day. Or we dig in our heels, or we become judgmental. A calloused heart is something you and I want to avoid at all costs. We never want to respond to God's word with a hard heart. Jesus goes on to describe another heart condition. Verse 16, he says, there's seed that falls on rocky soil, and it represents those who hear the message. They immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. We could describe this heart condition as a shallow heart. Jesus says, initially, there's an embracing of God's word, embracing of what God wants to do, the opportunities that God is giving for growth. But it's almost like sort of an emergency flare or a firecracker. We've seen a lot of firecrackers. We've heard a lot of fireworks over the last few weeks around 4th of July. And there's a lot of noise. There's a bright flash, and then it's gone. Jesus said, that's how people with a shallow heart are about the things of God and about growing in their spiritual journey. They're just a quick flash, and then it's gone. A fizzle, and then it's done. Their spiritual growth comes to a halt as soon as they hit something difficult. And that difficulty, rather than working through it with God's Spirit and with God's help, they allow that difficulty to stop them right in their tracks. I've read that farmers tell us when there's a lot of rain, when seed is first planted, that it doesn't send its roots down very deep. It doesn't have to go deep to find moisture. And so the roots are shallow, and it puts the plant at risk later on in the growing season. Because if there's any time at all where there's no rain, the roots aren't deep enough to find moisture, and so the plants quickly wither and die. Jesus is telling us that we have to be people who guard against a shallow heart, guard against putting our trust and faith in Jesus with a lot of emotion initially, but then we're not willing to follow Him and put down deep roots. And Jesus goes on in verses 18 through 19 to talk about another heart condition. Look at the words with me. Jesus said, the seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out of their lives by worries, by the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. No fruit is produced. We could call this a crowded heart. There are so many of us that would admit that moving into the time of COVID-19 and the shutdown of almost our entire world, we were living with a crowded heart. It was so easy for us to let everything else crowd out what God actually wanted to do in our hearts and in our lives. And Jesus puts his finger on what so many of those things look like. He says we get worried about life. We get worried about all of the different things that could go wrong, all of the different pieces to the puzzle of our life and of our family and of our finances, of our jobs. And Jesus said, we get so worried about that our focus goes off from what God could do in those situations to what we should be doing. We take it out of God's hand and we try to do it ourselves. Jesus said that sometimes the lure of wealth, the desire for always more. Jesus said that can crowd God out of our heart and out of our life. Jesus just put everything else together and he said there are other things, all of the other things of life that can distract you from God, we allow to crowd God right out of our life. This crowded heart is a heart that is controlled by the environment around it. So we allow the environment of our life, the outside factors of our life, somebody wanting us to do this or that, or taking our kids to every activity known to mankind, or being involved in all sorts of different things that are extra things. We allow all of that to control the spiritual dimension of our life rather than the spiritual dimension of our life affecting all of the other areas. I read one time about a man who had a job of diving for exotic fish that people would purchase and then put in large aquariums. And this guy, as an interview, he talked about how one of the most popular aquarium fish, exotic fish, is a shark. And he goes on to explain that if you catch a small shark, and if you confine it, it will stay a size proportionate to the aquarium. So a shark that is fully mature, if it's in a very small aquarium, could actually only grow to 6 inches long. But if you put the same shark in an ocean, it'll grow to its normal length of 6 or 8 feet. The environment of the shark controls the growth of the shark. Now, a shark probably doesn't have a whole lot of control over his environment, but we do. We can take control of the situations and circumstances that could distract us from what God wants to do in our life, that could distract us from experiencing the growth that He is giving us the opportunity to experience today. Well, Jesus goes on to talk about another heart, and it's in verse 20, and I hope that you will look at this verse with me. Jesus says, "There is seed that falls on good soil, and it represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest 30, 60, even 100 times more than was expected when planted." Jesus says there is a heart condition that is not crowded, it is not shallow, it is not callous, but it is a transformed heart. This is a heart that embraces the truth, that accepts the good news. And because it accepts the good news, because it embraces the truth, it is allowed to bear amazing amounts of fruit in our own lives, in the lives of our family, and in the lives of the people around us. This transformed heart positions itself to experience a spiritual harvest that goes beyond our wildest dreams. This transformed heart. This is individuals who are willing to let God use whatever He wants to help us grow. Situations and circumstances might be uncomfortable, they might be unexpected, but even in those moments we realize God can help us learn. God can help us see things in a new way. God, even in these moments, is presenting us new opportunities to grow. The secret of a transformed heart is given to us by Jesus. He says, this soil, this heart, is a heart that just hears and accepts God's word. God will bring the growth if we just hear and accept His word. If we look at our lives and we realize that it's not transformed, we find ourselves calloused or shallow or crowded, distracted. It's ultimately not the seed's fault. It's not the sower's fault. No, it's our choice. We've allowed our heart to descend into one of these categories that has kept it from being transformed by the Spirit of God. So today, friends, we have a decision to make about our hearts. And one of the first things we have to do is we have to be willing to do some diagnosis and some evaluation. And we ought to ask ourselves a question, a very personal question. You're going to see it here on the screen. What's your heart condition? What's your heart condition? If you were to hook up a spiritual EKG machine, what would it tell you about your heart condition? Is it calloused? Is it resistant to what God wants to do? Is it shallow, where you've embraced God's word and God's truth, but you've allowed difficulty and struggle to prevent you from truly following? Is it a crowded heart? A heart that's been distracted from what is most important by all of the cares and worries of life? Or is it a transformed heart? A heart that's accepting and embracing God's truth? There's a wonderful verse of scripture in Colossians that I think helps us understand and know how we address these heart conditions. Paul, writing, says, "Just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down deep into him, and let your lives be built on him. And then your faith will go strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." Friends, if you find yourself diagnosing your heart today, perhaps you need to address your heart condition. And if it's calloused, maybe you just need to say, "God, help me understand where I am resisting your leadership, your word, your guidance today." And with his help, surrender to whatever it is he wants to do in your heart and life, even if it doesn't fit into what you thought God should be doing. Maybe if your heart is shallow, you just need to follow what Paul said in those words we just read. You need to make sure your roots grow down deep. Instead of hitting a problem or hitting a struggle or hitting something unexpected or something that makes you uncomfortable and running away from God, that you hold tightly to God's word and God's truth, and with his help you work through it and you grow through it. If you find yourself with a crowded heart, maybe you need to take the opportunity to reset your priorities. If this season of change and uncomfortableness and unexpected stuff has not caused you and me to reset some priorities, then we've missed an opportunity. I celebrate with you if you look at your life today and say, "Wow, by God's grace and by God's help and through the power of God's word and his spirit, my heart is being transformed." And if you find yourself there today, could I encourage you to do what the Apostle Paul says? And he says, just as you accepted Christ, then follow him. Follow him every day, every moment. Continue to follow him. Well, wherever we find ourselves today, it's my prayer that through the power of God's Spirit, every single one of us can experience a transformed heart. I'm going to lead you in a brief prayer, and then our team is going to come and share a wonderful song with us that just talks about you and me giving God our heart, whatever condition it's in, giving it to him and letting him transform it. Would you pray with me? So God, we ask today that you would help us be honest before you about the condition of our heart. And we pray that you would help us as we honestly look at where we are, whether we're calloused or shallow or crowded or transformed. May we be honest about that. And God, may we accept your word. May we hear it and embrace it. And as we do that, may we experience the transformation that only comes through you. And God, I pray that in this time of the unexpected, in this season of history that makes us uncomfortable, may we seize the opportunity to hear your word, to accept the opportunity to grow, and may we be transformed through the power of your Spirit as we offer our hearts to you. We pray in Jesus' name.